Hello, homemakers. Welcome to the Art of Home podcast, where we are exploring how homemakers cultivate a place to belong. I'm your host, Allison Weeks. I'm a wife. I'm a mom to 4 grown kids. I'm a granny to 1 baby boy, and I've been practicing the art of home for 30 years, coming up on 31 next month. It's very exciting. I hope you're having a great summer. I'm really having a great summer. We did a lot of traveling, and I've finally got over the jet lag from that. And I'm just trying to stay cool because we've had triple digit temperatures here in Texas for quite a while, and it is really, really hot. And as part of my summer rest, I have just kind of been scaling it back a little bit on podcast production, doing the bare minimum. But today, I'm bringing to you a really long episode. I know if this showed up in your feed and you're like, holy cow, this is over 2 hours long. Yes, it is. I debated over whether or not I should split this episode in half, but I really felt pretty strongly that it needed to stand together as a whole because we planned it that way. We planned our discussion that way because one thing leads to the next and leads to the next. And so I thought it would be a little awkward to split it up and release it over the course of 2 weeks. But that doesn't mean you have to sit down and listen to it all at once. So I know you're busy, you're doing all the things, you got kids at home for the summer, or maybe not, or whatever's going on with your life. Just carve out a little bit of time here and there until you hack away at this 2 hour long episode. I promise you it's worth the investment of time. It's a great discussion with two women who I just love dearly. They're familiar voices to you. Both of them have been on the show a couple of times. Joy and Karen, they were both homemaker portrait interviewees back in the day, at the very beginning, actually, of the show. And then both of them have been on to help me with different deep dive topics. I'll link all of their past episodes down in the show description. Joy did one with me on organization. That was a two-parter. And then Karen did one with me on the use of words in the home. That was also a two-parter. So I'll link all that below. Before we get into the subject matter, though, I do want to point one thing out. At the very beginning, we talk about, I have them introduce themselves and I ask, you know, tell me a little bit about you and your marriage and all that. And they're throwing out numbers as far as how long that they had been married. And then we tried to do the math to figure out, okay, what that means, the experience that we had at the table. But Joy texted us later on that afternoon. She said, oh my God, I told you the wrong number. I said we had been married 35 years. We've been married 40 years. So I wanted to make sure that Joy and her husband got the credit for 40 years of marriage bliss. But they graciously agreed to come back on the show with me and talk about this really deep topic that can be a little hard to grasp and hard to apply to our daily life, but it is so, so important. We're going to be diving deep into pillar number two, the homemaking pillar number two, values and priorities today. So we've already dove into pillar number one, identity, with Susan Macias. You can go back and listen to that one. I will link it down in the description. And then we're going to talk today about how our values and our priorities are shaped by our identity, how our values and priorities are shaped by our belief, the difference between kingdom values and as a believer and personal values and how those two interact with one another. We're going to talk about how values shape our priorities and our expectations. That's a word we talk about a lot on this podcast, very often in the context of unmet expectations and how we deal with that as homemakers. And we're going to talk about how values have an impact on that. We will discuss some of the pitfalls of having misplaced values and how that can hijack our schedules and our priorities. Then we're going to touch on how values and priorities shape the other two pillars of homemaking, rhythms and routines. That's the third pillar, and community. That's the fourth pillar. And then we end our time with some practical application. So there is a lot of ground to cover in this discussion. Again, like I said, I know it's a long one, but you don't have to listen to it all in one setting. You can split it up. And we do spend a bit of time at the beginning with some definitions, and we're sort of up at the 30,000 foot view. But I promise we do bring it down to earth, and we do some very practical questions throughout our discussion to help you think about how does this affect me right now in my day-to-day homemaking adventures. So I hope that you will be encouraged and inspired and challenged by what you hear today on this deep dive into the second pillar of homemaking, values and priorities. All right, welcome to The Art of Home. We are going to be doing a deep dive today on the second pillar of homemaking, values and priorities. So we've already talked about identity. That's pillar number one. This is pillar number two. And then we'll be going on to talk about the third and fourth pillar, which would be rhythms and routines. And then number four is community. And they're all connected. And it matters what order you go in. And you're going to see that in our discussion today, because we'll be referring a lot to identity. But I have with me two familiar voices. If you are a longtime listener of The Art of Home, I have my friend Karen Shepherd and Joy Welch. So I'm going to let them introduce themselves and just tell us a little bit about just who they are. And then I'll talk about why I invited them here today. So go ahead.
Okay. I'm Karen Shepherd, and I have been married to Greg for going on, January, it will be 52 years.
52? And so,
yes.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Congratulations.
So lots of years. Yes. And those years have produced 14 grandchildren. So we feel very blessed, and they're all over the place. So in fact, we have two teenage boys staying with us this week. And that's an experience. But anyway, I just went and aired out one of the rooms. And so. But anyhow, they're just great blessings. And I'm really excited about what we're doing today. So
great.
I know I'm going to learn a lot.
Okay. Joy?
Hi, I'm Joy Welch, and I'm just so excited to be here today, too. Allison, so sweet to always include Karen and I in a lot of conversations, and we are excited about that. But I've been married 35 years to my husband, David, and we just celebrated with a great trip to Italy. Ooh. So we had the greatest time. So we were having a good time about that. And we have four grown children. They all are married. They live all across the country, one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast, two in Texas. And I just got back from being with both of my daughters and their two little baby girls. So we had the greatest time. So I'm just excited to be here today and to share with these sweet ladies that I love so much.
Oh, thank you. Thank you both. So I invited both of these women to talk here today because I just enjoy their company so much. But as you heard, they have together. Okay, let's see. Let's do the math.
Oh, I forgot. Five kids.
You have five kids.
Yeah.
Right. But I was going to say your homemaking experience. So what did you say? 52 years?
52 and 35.
So what's the math? That's 87.
87.
And I've been married 30 years. So add that in. But I wanted to talk to y'all because Karen, our conversation, well, we had you on a homemaker portrait, and then I had you come and talk about words in the home. And we talked quite a bit about values and what's important to us and how we communicate that to other people. And so I thought you'd be a great discussion partner for this topic. And then Joy, I had you for a homemaker portrait, and then you came back and did a deep dive with us on organization, because that's your passion and love language and all that. And we talked about personal values as part of the LIVE acronym that you came up with to help us when we were trying to sort through all our things and bring a little bit more order into our lives. That was that the V? No, that was vision for your home. So it was life purpose. It was part of the L, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes, it was part of the first, the first letter, life purpose and values. So I knew that you would also be a good discussion partner for us today. Okay. So let's talk about what we're doing here today. We're going to first define some terms. We're going to talk about what our values and what our priorities and like what's the difference between the two. I'm going to go ahead and direct now. I'm going to just let us know where we're going. Oh, so after we do some definitions, we're going to look at kingdom values as Christians. What is God calling us to? What kind of values does are there that applies to all of us? And then we're going to look at personal values and their relationships to one another. We're going to look at how values shape the other three pillars of homemaking. And then we're going to give some practical application for how to know and state and practice living according to your values. Okay, so let's jump into some definitions. I asked you guys to research. I said, let's all research some definitions and compare on air what we came up with. All right, so who wants to go first? What did you find for defining values?
Well, I'm going to just say a simple definition, because okay. I had to reference this. I always pull off my phone, my first thing, and then go a little bit deeper, first definition. But I put a person's principles or standards of behavior that's important to them in life.
Okay.
So that was just my simple on values. Mm-hmm. And
that's a good simple definition.
That's similar to what I have. I have basic and fundamental beliefs that guide or motivate attitudes or actions. And I thought it was interesting, too, that I looked up character. And when we say a person has character, which is, you know, they have values, mm-hmm. We mean he consistently lives and acts according to a set of principles instead of responding to impulse, feeling, or external pressures.
Mm. Mm.
So I thought that was good. I liked
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
that's really good.
I really like that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I thought about as a Christian that another word for values to a Christian should be your virtues. You know, mm-hmm. your top value should mm-hmm. be virtuous. Mm-hmm. And I did a little bit of deep dive, and I'll share a little bit later yeah. about what a virtue is compared to what a value is. There mm-hmm. is a little bit of difference in that.
Okay. Well, is that something we could talk about right
sure,
now?
Or, sure.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like every value of a believer, I think, is virtuous, you know, being something that is good, desirable in a person, high moral values. Mm-hmm. Every virtue is a value, but not every value has to be a virtue.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of a different thing, mm-hmm. but I feel like you want to be virtuous. I'm reading a book now. Well, actually, it's a reference book of all these classics, and we're all in book club together.
Yes.
So each one of the books that they recommend teaches a different virtue.
Oh,
and
okay.
it's really neat to see how in these old classic books they're teaching a lesson and they're teaching character values, like mm-hmm. Karen said.
Okay. So a virtue really might be more like a character trait, like
right,
honesty mm-hmm. or integrity,
honesty, prudence, temperance.
Okay,
I think chastity. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Those kind of things.
Those kinds of things. Okay, and then values, which we're gonna list some values when mm-hmm. we get to the values assessment step, are a little bit different. Okay, mm-hmm. and it's kind of squishy. That's one of those concepts.
Yeah, right.
It's a little hard to get a hold on. Yeah. A little mm-hmm. hold of. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's what I found out. Values can be broadly categorized into different types, such as personal, cultural, moral, religious, societal values. Personal values are unique to each individual and usually based on personality and beliefs and experiences. Cultural values are shared beliefs and customs and traditions of a particular group or society. And then moral values are principles that govern right and wrong behavior and are often based on religious or philosophical beliefs. Mm-hmm. So values are the core principles and beliefs that shape our worldview and guide our behavior and our decisions and our actions. They're things that we hold dear to our heart and we consider important or desirable, and they help us make sense of the world around us mm-hmm. oftentimes. Mm-hmm. So our values are an essential aspect of our lives, and understanding our values can help us make better decisions and set meaningful goals and live a more fulfilling life. But values and goals are not the same thing. So that was something else mm-hmm. I wanted to distinguish, because this is all coming from in my personal experience. I never really understood the value of understanding values mm-hmm. until I was going through therapy, mm-hmm. Which I still go once a month to my counselor because it's just so valuable to me personally. But she helped me to really recognize that there are some core things mm-hmm. that are important to me, and mm-hmm. I needed to start to learn to recognize what those things are and how mm-hmm. they shape the decisions that I make mm-hmm. and the goals that I set. Mm-hmm. So, but there is a difference between values and goals. Values are not the same as goals. Values involve ongoing action. Mm-hmm. This is not my definition. I pulled this from a man called Russ Harris, who has done a lot of work in the counseling field on helping counselors, training counselors, how to help people recognize their values. Mm-hmm. But anyway, this is his quote. Values are not the same as goals. They involve ongoing action. They're like the directions that we keep moving in, mm-hmm. whereas the goals are what we want to achieve along the way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A value is like heading west. This is his words. A goal is like a river or a mountain or a valley we aim to cross whilst we're traveling westward. goals can be achieved or crossed off, whereas values are ongoing. So does that make sense, the mm-hmm. differentiation mm-hmm. between the two?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's the difference between values and goals. That's some broad general definitions of values. What about priorities? how do we distinguish values from priorities? What did you guys come up with for definitions for priorities?
Well, let's see. I had priorities are things that are important, urgent, or earlier than other things. Mm-hmm. They have the right to precede others in order, rank, or privilege. They're related to the large goals one has for one's life and require careful thinking and attention. Your priorities shape your actions, your days spent on this earth, and the decisions that you make. Mm. So
good.
That's good. They're important.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I put something like that. The only thing that I would add to that is it's a fact or condition that we treat as more important than another one. You know, some days we have priorities that are urgent and some are necessary. You know? So it kind of depends on what it is for that particular day.
Okay. Yeah. I had similar findings that priorities refer to the things that are most important to us, require our immediate attention or action. Mm-hmm. They're generally tasks or activities or goals that we focus on because they align with our values and our needs and our desires.
Yeah. It's kind of like when we do a to-do list and then we name, okay, this is number one. This is a must.
This must get done today.
This must get done. Mm-hmm. This is two, three, and then maybe six or seven has to move to tomorrow's list, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's...
I found a distinction. What's the word I'm looking for? I wanted to understand the difference between values and priorities. And so here's a distinction that I found. While values are more about guiding principles and beliefs, priorities are more about the specific tasks or goals that we focus on in the present moment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was a good differentiating understanding there. So now let's...
But you just think about if your priorities are in the right order, then they need to represent those values.
Absolutely. You know, and we're going to talk about how we can get those things out of whack.
Oh, and it's very easy to very
what can easy. Happen.
Yes. And right now this might sound like really heady and we're way up here in the clouds talking about these big concepts, but I promise we're going to bring it down because this is what I learned in counseling, that this actually has an effect on my everyday reality and how I conduct myself in relationships and in my occupation, which my occupation is homemaking. Mm-hmm. And then now I'm thinking of it as a podcaster, how it's going to help me direct where God wants to take this ministry. Mm-hmm. But it is very important for our daily living. And we're going to look at that.
How we behave.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, our behaviors.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Okay. So first, we want to talk about kingdom values. As believers in Christ, we live according to kingdom values, or we should be living according to kingdom values. And we want to talk about that first because that is important. So the key ideas that I want to bring out in this part of the discussion is that when we have a new identity, which we talked all about with Susan Macias in our identity deep dive, our new identity, who we are in Christ, gives us new values. So in Christ, we're citizens of a new kingdom, of the upside down kingdom, which values different things than the world does. It's completely opposite of what the world values generally. The kingdom values we live by are the umbrella or the authority over our personal values and priorities. So if you think of it like an umbrella, all of our personal values and priorities must fall under that umbrella. The authority of the umbrella of the kingdom values that God has put in place. So the third thing I want to point out in this part of the discussion is that we're empowered to live by these values by the Holy Spirit. So I don't muster up the strength to live according to kingdom values in my own self. Mm-hmm. That comes from the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's jump in. I have a couple of questions here that I want us to discuss. The first question is, how does finding our identity in Christ change our values?
Well, I think when you become a follower of Jesus, I mean, your whole mind and heart shift to want to follow his word. Mm-hmm. And the more you get into the word, you're taking on the values that Christ had. And it starts in Genesis all the way to Revelations. And you see that the world's values are just so opposite of really what Christ's values were. I mean, he lived so simply and humbly. And I just love reading the Gospels and seeing how he just had a free life to go here and there and minister, you know, mm-hmm. God's word. And I think that is how our identity should be taking on that. How did Christ live? That's how I want to live. You know, what verses is he saying and what is he doing and what are the things that fill up his time? Mm-hmm. That's what I want to fill up my time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and he, you know, he delights in us and he wants us to delight in him instead of always thinking about what makes us happy, what, and delighting in him. That's part of that identity. And one of the things I think, well, two things that shape our identity are our faith, what and why we believe what we believe, and then the people we spend time with. That's a biggie.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
I mean, I think that when we find our identity in Christ, it changes our values, because before you're secure in knowing who you are in Christ, you're plagued with the question, who am I? Why am I here? What's my purpose? You know, what's the meaning of it all? Right. And we try to answer that question with, apart from Jesus, we try to answer that question with all kinds of things. We try to find our value, purpose, meaning, and worth in a number of things, you know, in achievements or money or relationships. We put our identity in the wrong things, whether that's our marriage or our kids or our different roles, our career, whatever that is. But once we've shifted and put our identity in Christ, then we don't have to depend on, you know, that relationship working out just perfectly in order to make us feel like, okay, well, my value, if I value intimacy, you know, I'm just throwing this out there. Or if I, or let's say, okay, for me personally, I value honesty. That's like high on my list. And if I find myself in a relationship with someone and they're not being honest with me, well, if my identity is in that relationship, well, then I will just crumble to pieces. You know what I'm saying? So it allows me to hold that value of honesty, but not let it be the defining factor in who I am. Is this making sense?
Right. Oh, yes.
So it not only changes what I value, but it changes what that value means to me and how it doesn't make the value doesn't dictate who I am. And if the value isn't met in my life, I don't fall to pieces. So that was one of the things that stood out to me about identity in Christ, changing my values. I guess it was more about not so much that I valued different things, which I do value different things now as a believer in Christ, but more about how those values determine my happiness or my contentment or my joy or any of those things. So, okay, let's list some kingdom values. And if you've got some scripture to support that, awesome. What comes to mind immediately, Joy, when you think of kingdom values?
Well, I looked at 1 Corinthians 13:13.
Okay.
I think that kind of precedes everything. It says, but now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love.
Right.
And I put that, I know we're skipping ahead, but I mean, if you don't have love, you don't have Christ in your working in your life. And to me, that supersedes everything.
Okay, yeah, that's great.
Carrie. Well, one of the ones that I really got off on was the holiness / purity. I think they're very similar. And I was looking at Matthew 5:8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And then in Philippians, think about things that are excellent and praiseworthy. If we just think about things that are excellent and praiseworthy, every time we have a, you know, a bad thought or a wrong thought coming into our brain, you know, squash that thought and, you know, capture it and think about excellent and praiseworthy things that would make God happy. And then create in me a new heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. I always want to sing that. But you know, and I love the verse about do everything without grumbling or arguing. So that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. I mean, We're going to look different mm-hmm. when we're not grumbling or complaining because yes. mm-hmm. the world mm-hmm. grumbles and complains a lot.
Yes.
yeah. And so, and then one other one that I really, I have a little story to go with it, and that is courage. Mm-hmm. You know, I think as you age, and I'm finding this to be true with myself, that as I age, I'm more fearful. I'm not as courageous as I used to be.
And really?
It's really weird. I don't know what that is. Maybe who knows what happened. Maybe it was COVID that did that. I don't know. But anyhow, I just tend to not be, you know, I'm just more fearful, I guess. I don't know. But also, I was just going to, that verse about in Deuteronomy about be strong and brave, don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. And because the Lord your God will go with you, he will not leave you or forget you. Mm-hmm. So one year I made pillowcases for all the kids, and I think we might have had 12 grandkids at that time. And one of the 10-year-old little boys, he told me later, we would always take the pillowcases and we would put scripture on the cuff of the pillow. And then we put a little pocket and with a little flashlight in there. And so that way, if they woke up in the middle of the night, and we use this verse, if they woke up in the middle of the night and they were afraid or they, you know, saw shadows or something, it scared them, they could turn their little flashlight on and read their scripture. Well, I thought, okay, this is great, but will they really do that? You know, so he comes back to me and he says, you know, Nana, the other night I got really scared. And I got my flashlight and I put it on that scripture and I read it 2 times. And then I just wasn't afraid anymore. And I was thank you, Lord. So it can make a difference. Scripture, reading scripture, uh-huh. you know, uh-huh. for children. And uh-huh. so I just love that.
Karen, that's a great idea because my little ones are just now really little. And so it's fun hearing you from a more experienced, older grandkids.
Well, and I thought they
something
would.
Something I can do later on.
I love that idea.
I thought they would take these pillowcases. I thought, this is really, probably really not a very great gift, you know. They're going to go, oh, brother. But they didn't. They wanted to take a picture. They held their pillowcases up, and we took a picture. And then a couple of years ago, I made them pillowcases again, and they're big now, you know. Mm-hmm. But they still love them. And so, you know, it's great.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, that's such a cool story. I love that. Yeah. And it's very, you know, when we're talking about kingdom values, how do we know kingdom values? You alluded to it earlier too, Joy. Like we have to be in the Word, mm-hmm. and we have to be saturated in the Word to know, okay, this is what God values. Because even though we have the Holy Spirit in us and we're sealed, mm-hmm. we still have so many messages bombarding us from mm-hmm. the world. Mm-hmm. You know, oh no, this is what's valuable. This is what's mm-hmm. important. This mm-hmm. is what you should be chasing after, because mm-hmm. that's what's going to give you worth and purpose and meaning in life. Mm-hmm. And God says no. What's up is down, you know, the first shall be last and the last shall be first and all of those upside down kingdom realities. And when I was looking to answer this question, the first thing that came to my mind were the Beatitudes. Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay, so what would be the values that I could pull out of the Beatitudes that are listed in Matthew? Meek, being meek, blessed are the meek, being merciful, being a peacemaker. Pure in heart, a desire for righteousness. These are values that the Lord values highly mm-hmm. because he said, blessed are you if this is what characterizes your life. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, of course, the Ten Commandments, being a true worshiper, faithfulness to God alone, mm-hmm. Rest. God highly values rest and commands it. At least weekly. And so we talk a lot about rest on the show because as moms and wives and homemakers, it's hard to hang your apron up at the end of the day and say, okay, I'm done now. In honor, you know, a lot of the Ten Commandments, well, the first half is about honoring God and the second half is about honoring other people. And it's all about relationships. So God values us honoring others in our relationships. And the sanctity of life and the sanctity of marriage. And then I thought of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. These are all examples of kingdom values. Yeah. So which of the kingdom values did your flesh fight against in your role in the home as a homemaker and a wife and a mom? What was something that stood out to you, something you know was a struggle for you to live according to? And then how did God help you grow stronger in that area, that value?
Well, I think for me personally, my husband and I, like I said, have been married 35 years, mm-hmm. and we have lived on commission all 35 years. And
oh, wow.
It is built both of our faith. Mm-hmm. We had to start from basically scratch, because when we first got married, my husband was working for an oil company in Dallas, and I decided to quit my job. We were going to move further out, and we were going to try to start a family, you know, pretty soon after. We ended up waiting a little while because I was working initially. But anyway, he came home one day and he said, "Well, we're closing down the oil company." He was one of the later ones to go. But so we knew it was maybe coming, but we didn't know what we were going to do. We were thinking about starting a family at some point in the future. And I had already resigned from my job because it was just getting a little bit too much. And I was having to work a lot of nights and weekends. And it wasn't very good for a marriage mm-hmm. to have that on our in our life. And so we had to live by faith every mm-hmm. single month. Mm-hmm. We did not know what mm-hmm. was coming in that month. And we just had to, he's always worked in a radio station, does advertising, he voices it, he writes it all, he, you know, gets the clients on there. Mm-hmm. And boy, that was one of the values that I had to really grow in. And he did, both of us did. And we had to grow in it together. Mm-hmm. And I would just think about the biblical values I shared earlier, faith, hope, and love.
Yeah.
You know, there was always the faith building, but we always kept hope that, mm-hmm. you know, God would always pull us through. And yeah. so no matter what, I remember when we were really first married and we had had just a really struggling month, a couple from our church had asked us to go play miniature golf. And we both looked at each other, and we really wanted to be with that couple because they kind of looked up to us as mentors because they were a lot younger than we are. And we thought, you know what? We need to establish that relationship. So we get out a bucket of change and start rolling coins. And we said, okay, we are going to go play miniature golf in Dallas with this couple, go out to eat. We had enough money to do that. But, you know, God just builds your faith in those ways, in those little ways, you know, all through your marriage. He has never let us down. You know, I always say he'll never let us go hungry. He will never let us, you know, not have shelter. And it almost fosters more love between each other mm-hmm. when you have to struggle together
oh,
for those kind of
definitely.
Things.
So, yeah, definitely. Oh, that's anyway. Great. That's cool. Thanks for sharing that story.
One of the things that that just popped into my mind, and this was a long time ago when my kids were, well, actually, I only had one baby and another one on the way. And we lived in Iowa, and it was a horrible 2 years for me because Greg was getting his a degree in physics, and I was like just home most of the time with no car. And I think I was going through a little bit of depression, didn't have mm-hmm. any family or didn't know people. We had this little church there, and there was always issues in that little church. But anyway, so I just went into this habit of watching soap operas. Mm. And, you know, they weren't as bad back then as they are now, probably, but they were still, there were still things that I shouldn't be putting into my mind. But, you know, I just got hooked on them. It was mm-hmm. an addiction.
Yeah.
And at one point, I just finally realized, wow, I'm just not getting anything done. I'm just laying around. I'm watching these soap operas. And, you know, I just started praying to God to take it away. I just mm-hmm. prayed diligently for him to take it away. And today, I can honestly tell you, I deplore soap operas. If the TV's on and one comes on, I just go, turn it off, you know, as fast as I can. He took it away, mm-hmm. and I was so thankful for that. But it was interesting because I was reading about in the 5th century that that many in churches included diligence on their list of 7 heavenly virtues
mm-hmm.
to counter mm-hmm. sloth.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And sloth was an old English word for laziness.
Yeah,
and
that's one of the seven deadly sins,
yeah,
right?
And mm-hmm. basically, yeah. I was lazy. Proverbs 13:4 says, the soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. Mm. So, you know, there you go.
Yeah. I like that. Well, when I was doing a little bit of research in that book that I mentioned earlier, that mm-hmm. on reading well, mm-hmm. it broke down the values, or if you want to call it virtues, into three categories. So it was the cardinal virtues, it was biblical virtues, mm-hmm. which was faith, hope, and love, and then the heavenly virtues, yeah. like you just shared.
Yeah.
And one of them, yeah, diligence, and then I had chastity and patience, kindness, humility, but they all came against the seven deadly sins, mm-hmm. you know, each one of those. So that was neat. The cardinal yeah. virtues, which were kind of set, I don't know if they had taken them from Aristotle, but the early church fathers mm-hmm. Came up with prudence, temperance, justice, and courage. Those were the mm-hmm. four things that they said were very, you know, important in a Christian life.
Okay. So, interesting. Yeah. I definitely, sloth, if you want to, yeah, let's call it what it is, sloth, like came up in mind to answer this question, because, and we'll cover this a lot more when we do the deep dive, the next one on rhythms and routines. But one of the things about homemaking is it's a blessing and it's a bit of a curse mm-hmm. is that you are kind of a manager of your own time. You know, if mm-hmm. if yeah, your primary occupation is taking care of the home and being at home, mm-hmm. you have this big chunk of time every day, and yeah. like it's up to you to decide how to manage that resource well. And I think where my flesh pulled me very often was not practicing self-control mm-hmm. When I managed the resources that I had been blessed with, and primarily time, mm-hmm. because I was tired or just paralysis by analysis or option overload. You know, I had to, like, I could do all kinds of things with my time, you know, so mm-hmm. then I would just do nothing.
Yes.
I didn't want to make the wrong choice, or just being slothful. So that was one for me. And then I fought against kindness when I felt unappreciated, or when my efforts to keep the house clean or orderly went unnoticed, or even, we'll talk about this more a little bit later, but systems I would set up that were not followed.
Yeah.
You know, and that yeah. I was hard to be kind in the face of that. And then my third one was rest. Mm-hmm. It's hard to hang the apron up, mm-hmm. you know, and say, okay, I'm done. I'm going to rest now yeah. this evening. Mm-hmm. Not so much anymore, but when I had a house full of kids and the to-do list is never done.
Mm-mm. Right. Mm-hmm.
So at some point, you have to rest yeah. and you have to say, okay, I'm clocking out today. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was something my flesh would fight against often.
I think I fought against rest too, mm-hmm. because I have this mindset that I have to always be productive.
Yes.
Know? Okay. Mm-hmm. That's mm-hmm. what I have to fight against. I don't know if I fight against the slothfulness. I fight against the opposite of, okay, every moment has to be getting something done. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't just relax and rest and yeah. enjoy.
Yeah. We talked about that on the identity one, because mm-hmm. particularly in Western culture, in American culture, mm-hmm. productivity equals value.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, for sure.
So mm-hmm. if you're not being productive, mm-hmm. you're not being valuable. Mm-hmm. Your identity often is tied up with how much can you produce and mm-hmm. contribute and all of that kind of mm-hmm. thing. So,
well, and you know, I think that's hard for our husbands, because I don't think they have that much that problem with that as much as we do before mm-hmm. retirement anyway, because they go and they work all day and then they come home and then they rest.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I know even now, because I've just always felt like you, Joy, mm-hmm. where you do have to be doing something productive, you mm-hmm. know, but you know, sometimes Greg will come and say, well, do you have time to just come sit by me and let's mm-hmm. watch a movie? And I'm in my mind, I'm trying to be positive and you know, smile. And in my mind, I'm going, I do not have time for this. And so I've had to really adjust to my thinking about that, because it's very important. When they ask you to do something mm-hmm. and, you know, you need to do it and you need to go and sit down and relax and rest and not think about what you have to do.
Right. Well, because you value your marriage.
Yes. It's part of your relationship
building. Yes. And that's a personal value.
Yes.
Well, I mean, it's also a kingdom value in that the sanctity of marriage, and we're we're meant to invest in our marriage and keep our covenant before God and with our husbands. But that's one of those crossover areas where, you know, your personal value of that, your relationship with your husband, that's important to you. It's important to him. And working that out is maybe going to look a little different for him than it's going to look for you. And we have to respect the way that it works for our husband, what is meaningful to him. And this kind of crosses over into the love language area. Yes, and, you know, there's all these connections and, and webs that I'm seeing here.
You know, you look back and talking about watching a movie. I look back when my kids were younger, and Friday night, everybody, we went and got a movie and, you know, pizza night. We did, you know, did that every Friday night. The kids all went and picked the movie out. I'd get everything ready. And yet to sit down and watch a 2-hour movie, it was everything I got. And I just regret so much. So many times I would bring a magazine, look through a magazine while everybody else was watching the movie. And I would be thinking, okay, writing down a to-do list of what I needed to get done on Saturday. And, and you know, I look back and I think, you know, that was so foolish. Why did I just stop and just enjoy my time with the kids and my husband? And, you know, there's a lot of things you look back on and think, wow, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that.
Yes, but, so young wives
young
out there.
Yes.
Listen to our experience.
And it's a matter of getting your priorities in the right order and giving everything the right weight, you know? So yes, it's important to be productive in your home. And because like I just said, we don't want to fall into the ditch of slothfulness and just like, okay, well, whatever. And I'm going to sit around and watch soap operas all day. Because that's not what the Lord wants for us. But measuring that against, okay, I also value, why are we making the home? What's the point of all the homemaking? Well, the point of the homemaking is to create, to cultivate a place for people to belong and to a place where relationships can flourish and where our children and our grandchildren can grow and whoever else comes through these doors. So the tasks of the homemaking are there to support the life that goes on within the home. And if we prioritize the tasks and we value the task and the productiveness more than we value those relationships, then we've got it upside down. We've got it in the wrong order. So that's why it's important to continually be evaluating what's the motive behind my unwillingness to just sit and watch the movie and not make a list and or sit there with my computer and only look out of one eye or the motive, you know, what's behind that? Is it a misplaced priority? So personal values, here are some key ideas to keep in mind as we talk about this. All Christians are called to live according to kingdom values, but we will not all have the same personal values. And those often coincide with the individual's talents and gifts and personality. Number two, our personal values are going to change over time, depending on the season of life that we're in. You might have one that runs throughout, I would say, one or two, but some of your values, as far as how highly you value them, it's going to depend on what season of life that you're in. Understanding your values helps you understand your choices and your desires and your fears. Keeping it under the kingdom umbrella is very, very important. And we're going to talk about that as to what happens when we don't keep our personal values under the kingdom value umbrella. And then we're going to talk a little bit about how to do a personal values assessment. Okay. So I asked both of you to do a personal values assessment, which is just basically a whole list of values and sort of an explanation of what they are. And then you're meant to rate them. Essentially, you either put an N for not very important, a Q for quite important, or a V for very important. And then after you go through, how many were there's like 50, right?
Six, 60.
Okay. So we go through all of them and we give them one of those letters, and then we look at all the V's, and then we choose like the top 3, 4, 5 out of those V's. And those would be our top values for the current season that we're in right now. And it's, you know, it's not an exact science, but it's just meant to give you an idea. Okay. So what were the results of your personal values assessment, and were you surprised by any of them? Who wants to go first?
Well, I hadn't really thought about this before. So, okay. I almost exactly 1/3 of them I had quite, mm-hmm. What is it? Quite
the middle option.
Very, very, which okay. is the very top,
yeah.
you know, that they were really meaningful. Mm-hmm. So I guess I was kind of surprised that I had that many, mm-hmm. you know, one third, and then there were some, I just went, I don't know whether it was just reading the question wrong, but I just mm-hmm. thought, oh, no. No,
yeah.
you know, because when you look at it from the world's
yes.
standpoint, it's quite different than when you put it in under God's.
Right. And that's an important distinction. I'll just point that out really quickly. And then I'll let you continue. We looked at it, of course, from the perspective of a Christian. And if you were looking at this from a different worldview perspective, you would probably interpret these differently.
Right.
So
yes.
I know the mm-hmm. one you're probably one of them you're probably talking about is power.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, I put in, that is not important to me to mm-hmm. strongly yeah. influence or wield authority over
yeah.
others,
mm-hmm.
taking charge, leading, organizing. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of that leadership, you know, I enjoy leadership because it's one of the gifts that God has given me, but it's not like a value that I must have in my must have power. You know, mm-hmm. so I'm thinking of like Lord of the Rings mm-hmm. and the Ring of Power. Mm-hmm. but yeah, so I think if you were coming at it from a different perspective, a non-believer, you might answer mm-hmm. that differently.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I just wanted to throw that out there. So what did you find?
Okay. So, on my three, let's see, where are those? Well, one of them was, fitness. Mm-hmm. Which was really kind of strange, but when you think about it, when you have kids and you're raising your kids and you're primarily focused on that, you don't have time to exercise really
yeah.
the right kind of exercise. I mean, you do exercise, but you know,
yeah.
usually it's back-breaking exercise. And so, but you just don't have time to take care of yourself.
Well, what's the, like, read the definition for us of
okay.
what they said
fitness is to maintain or improve my fitness, to look after my physical and mental health and well-being.
Yeah.
I didn't have time to look after my mental. I didn't even know I had mental. I didn't know I was mental. Now I look back and I realize I was mental.
You were just trying to survive at that point.
That's just it. But you know, like you, Allison, I've been to a counselor. I've gone through some things and talked some things out. And it is really, really good to do that. And realize that there are things I can do to overcome,
mm-hmm.
you know, the stuff in my baggage, you know, the baggage stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And not all, it's not all bad baggage. Baggage is baggage, I guess, but still, it's baggage. And so, but, you know, it seems like when I hit my beginning of my 60s, don't want to scare y'all, but beginning of my 60s, my body just fell apart. And I was just like, what is going on here? Mm-hmm. I've always been healthy. I've had little things, but nothing major. My body just fell apart. And I'm able to get on top of it. And a lot of it is because I've taken the time to go and do not only the physical part of it, but the mental part
yeah.
of it and work through some things. And you'd be surprised how much your mental affects your physical.
Oh, yeah.
And so, just, you know,
yeah.
think about that as you age, because, and now I have the time. Sometimes I don't want to take the time, but I have the time to walk. I have the time to exercise. I have the time to do those
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
And so I feel like it's just a whole different stage.
Right.
You know, and.
Well, that speaks to that whole word I said before about how your values and priorities will shift over
yeah.
time and
mm-hmm.
seasons, you know, and it could just be a matter, you just may not have the time for, you know, some of the things that you're passionate about, but you can always carve out the time. We're going to talk about that too. Like, you value what you make time for, what's
yes.
important to you.
Yes, that's true. And when your body is hurting and you're in pain, you make time.
You had
to address
you couldn't
that
ignore
pain.
It. You couldn't ignore it anymore. You
yeah,
had to deal with
yeah.
it. So that
yeah.
was one.
That
what
was one. Another
what
one
was
courage, because mm-hmm. like I told you before, I feel like I'm going through, or have gone, I'm getting better, but I've gone through this just fearful stage. Like, I don't know, I used to just be in charge of things and do things. And now I'm like, it's scary to be in charge of something. Like just recently with VBS, I sat there and tried to decide, okay, I know I want to do this week. I want to do it. I want to do it. But I just don't know whether I can push that button and say, yes, I'll do it. And so I stood there and went back and forth with God, like, God, you want me to do this? I finally did it. And, and so now I'm going to be working that week. And so I'm really excited. I'm going out and doing things on my own and, you know, not just with my husband, but, you know, getting out and doing some things that interest me. Mm-hmm. And then I think the other one would be kindness, because we're going through some things right now with a son, and he's having some gender identity issues, and some of the things, I think he's done some drugs, and I think the drugs have fried his brain, because when we talk to him, he makes no sense. And it's, I'm having to really, really ask God to help me to, no matter what, how I feel about all of this, I still have to be kind to him. Now that doesn't mean that when he asks for money, I'm going to say, oh yeah, I'll send you some money, you know, so you can buy drugs. No, that doesn't mean that, you know, just like the call we had the other night, he said, well, I finally found a job, but now I don't have a place to live. And he's had places to live, but he left them. And so he said, I guess I'll be sleeping on the streets, or I'll be out somewhere with the bugs. And I said, that's really horrible. I'm so sorry. I mean, because he's got to figure it out. And that is so hard. It's so hard not to say, well, look what you did. I mean, you. And I want to say that so bad. I want to say you've had a million chances and you've blown them all, you know. And instead, you just have to be calm and kind and ask God to help you be that way.
And I believe when we face those situations where we want, you know, we're valuing things. Oftentimes what came up on mine was it was high on the list. It's because it's something I feel like I'm lacking in, and I want to grow in that area. And so kindness was one of those as well for me. And you can be kind in those difficult situations, not in your own flesh, but it's when we look to God and we say, okay, I trust him, and I know that he's going to give me the strength to be kind. And I know that even though I'm so mad at this kid for these choices and I don't feel like being kind, I can trust that he's working there. And that allows, it frees me up to repay maybe unkindness with kindness. And so that's how those things
and
relate.
Kindness doesn't, you don't have to affirm their choices.
No, kindness doesn't mean you're condoning.
No,
but we're still called to be kind, to display kindness, and that's one of the fruits of the Spirit. So, what about you, Joy?
Well, okay, I kind of went in a different direction a little bit. excuse me. I had, I had a lot of varies too. I mean, like most of them were varies.
Yeah,
I mean, because
me
so
too.
Many
yeah.
things were so important to me. It was hard to just pull out. But I looked at my three, and like I told y'all before we started recording, I had three non-negotiables. I mean, if you're following Christ, there you have to live, or you want to live. It's not you have to. You want to live. If you love God, you're. I mean, that's what we're called to do. I mean, my number one negotiable, non-negotiable, was love, to love God, love my family, and love other people.
Right.
And my second non-negotiable was to walk in truth, honesty, justice, and integrity. To me, all of those kind of fit together.
Yeah, those were all different ones listed on this.
They're all different ones, but they all kind of are intertwined together. So I put those as my third non-negotiable, second non-negotiable. And because in this day and time, I mean, to walk in truth is to take a stand on a lot of things, a lot of issues.
An unpopular stand.
Well, and I'm exactly. And so, and but that's so important to me. And you know, I feel like if we're walking with the, you know, foundation of God's word, we have to walk in truth. And the third non-negotiable, like y'all just talked about, was kindness with joy. And I feel like, okay, no matter what the situation, our family's kind of going through a little bit of a situation now. And I have to remember to walk in kindness. You know, I mean, it'd be so easy to get my feathers ruffled and maybe say something that sounds out of the flesh. But it is you know, God's going to be in control of all of this, and you have to just let him, you know, mm-hmm. in, when you're walking through a tight situation, you just have to say, Lord, you take it over. Be kind through me mm-hmm. to do that. Mm-hmm. And I always put that with joy because, you know, well, having a name with joy gives you a little bit of
It's like you have to
live like that. Yeah,
you know, you got to live up to your name, Joy.
I know. Well, when I was younger, I was always mad, you know, because I've never been really mad person, but I was always like, oh, I feel like so responsible. I've got to live up to this name. Mm-hmm. You know, now I think, okay, I get to live up to this name. You know, so it's a whole different mindset of that. But anyway, those were all my non-negotiables.
Okay.
My ones that I came down to thinking about my homemaking experience, I had to put order first.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to live in routine. I have to live in non-chaos. I mean, and if y'all heard our first... my first thing with Allison, my first video or her podcast with her, we live in a tiny house. Uh-huh. And believe me, Karen's seen it. Yep. Allison's seen it. Yep. They know what we live in. I mean, it's as cute as a bug because I love living there. And it's the craziest thing. In fact, my husband all the time says, are we crazy for living like this? And I said, No. This is our season. We don't know if it's long term, but just for this season, God's put us here for a reason. We don't know why. But anyway, it's an 800 square foot farmhouse, and we built it, and we built another one for my mom. And anyway, we all live out there, and it's just peaceful out there, nice, quiet. I built a garden with a garden shed. Karen's seen that, and we did a little honey hive guest house. And so we've kind of made it this little...
That's like a commune.
A little commune. So we do have room for our kids when they come home. But anyway, so, but when you have a small space, you have to keep it in order.
Yes.
Or my husband comes home. He works in Austin on the weekends. During the week, he comes home on Thursdays. And, you know, he'll put his little stuff on my white table. That's my hardest thing. If I could just keep that table cleaned off, you know. It's always piled with stuff, and a lot of it's my stuff, too, so I can't really complain. But anyway, I always think, okay, and I move his stuff back to his nightstand, and, you know, I'm just like, if we have one thing out of place, it looks just cluttered.
Yeah. So yes.
That is probably my number one, and I always think about that scripture. In 1 Corinthians 14, it says, for God is not a God of confusion, but of order and peace.
Right.
And I know he's talking about the church situation, but I think it can still, you know, apply to the home situation.
Yeah, too. Absolutely.
So, anyway, so that was my first one. My second one was, well, it kind of goes along with it, simplicity with beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm opposite of Allison. I'm not sure about Karen, but I don't like stuff. I mean, I love stuff. Yes. I love stuff. I just don't like it in my home. I love all the copper pots. In fact, I almost decided to was going to start collecting copper pots the other day. Then I thought, okay, well, where am I going to put those copper pots? I was like, okay, never mind. But anyway, I do like stuff, but I only like a few little things. I like clean, white, and minimal.
Yeah.
Minimal. And I keep my clothes pared down. I do all of that stuff. You know, I just keep just a little bit, but I rotate through a lot. I mean, I always have a bag ready for Goodwill or Salvation Army. I just always have it ready because I'm a huge purger. But it has to be beautiful. Simplicity with beauty. You know, it's not just, I don't have like a sterile.
It's not stark.
Yes. Yeah, not stark, not a sterile hospital environment.
It's warm.
It is. It's like you've chosen. You've been very intentional, and you've pared it down to just a few really beautiful things because you do like the beauty, and your home is beautiful. But there's not a lot of beautiful things in there because you value the simplicity and the order and the minimalism. So
just don't go out to my honey hive. That's a lot of.
That's where the clutter stuff. Is.
No. I keep
that's
it pretty,
not even bad.
Well, I have my extra pantry out there, so that's my thing. And then my third one, and the way it says in this assessment test, I'm a little bit. It sounds a little bit worldly.
Yeah.
But the way I am interpreting, it said self-development.
Mm-hmm.
But I really feel like I'm more of a self-learner.
Yeah.
You know, and mm-hmm. so that's what's important to me. We're trying to get this garden growing, and I am not doing a good job at all. Believe me, nothing's growing. I can't believe it. I'm water and water. We fertilize and we do all the stuff.
It's the soil.
I know. And we've added all this organic stuff. I mean, it's just crazy. So, I mean, nothing is growing. And my lettuce has been for a month and it's about 6 inches tall. I mean, months, and it's about 6 inches tall. But I get a little frustrated, but I thought, well, the garden house looks cute and there's a cute sign on the garden house, and the whole thing looks cute, so that's all I'm care about.
You got the beauty.
I got the beauty part of
covered.
That one. Yes, if I could just get something growing, that'd be nice. But I like to read about. I like agrarian stuff. Wendell Berry. Mm-hmm. I don't know if y'all have ever read any of his stuff. I love Joel Salatin is a big gardener. Mm-hmm. I read his stuff, and I love to think that I can be self-sustaining. I mean, if I had to live off my garden, I'd like be starving.
You'd be eating the leaves.
I would be eating, yes, for sure. But I do like to learn. I love mm-hmm. to learn. I love to get in the Word and learn more about the Word. I'm leading my two daughters and daughter-in-law in a Bible study, mm-hmm. and we get together on Zoom. So that's probably what I'm most passionate right now in my life mm-hmm. is getting into the Word of God. And mm-hmm. I was telling Karen the other day that I said, I would just love to just sit at this table and have a whole group of ladies here just, and let's really dig into the Scripture. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like a lot of times we answer these surface Bible study questions mm-hmm. and are we really understanding what's in the Word of God?
Right.
You know,
right. So. Those are great. Yeah. I have to agree with you on the self-development one because it says to keep growing, advancing, or improving in knowledge, skills, character, or mm-hmm. life experience. And yes, you could look at that in a worldly, through a worldly lens, but I look at it from the same lens as I love to learn new things. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like a lifelong learner, and that's something mm-hmm. that I try to instill in my children, mm-hmm. give them the ability to learn how to learn.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and when they know how to learn things, mm-hmm. then the sky's the limit. Right. That was mm-hmm. part of what motivated our homeschooling years was I wanted, and you guys both homeschooled mm-hmm. all the way through your kids.
Well, not quite.
You
not
almost.
Mine went to high school.
Yours went to high school, but you did all the way through. Right?
Yeah, well, with some of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, but anyway, the point is that was part of our values, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and that determined the decision that helped us make that decision mm-hmm. to do the homeschooling. And then later, you know, after several years of that, our values changed slightly. Our personal family values changed slightly and our circumstances changed. We moved here and we had to make a different decision based on our values and our mm-hmm. priorities. But as far as the homemaker goes, you know, like your example, Joy, of the value that you have of beauty mm-hmm. coupled with the value that you have for order and simplicity determined not only the kind of house you decided to live in with your husband, paring it all down to this little tiny 800 square foot cottage, but then how you adorn it, how you organize your space, how you set up your kitchen. I mean, so this is where we get down to brass tacks and mm-hmm. the practical side of what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. There is a very practical outworking of these concepts. And I just want to make sure that that's coming through very clearly.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I don't mm-hmm. think you could live in that little house if you didn't have the gift of organization. Mm-hmm. I believe it's a gift that God has given you and mm-hmm. you've taken it and, you know, and used it to his glory.
Right. And for some people, it may, it could be a value, like it could be a financial situation mm-hmm. that would cause them to make, we're just using the tiny house as an example because mm-hmm. we have someone here who lives in a tiny house. Mm-hmm. But perhaps they have decided they value adventure. Mm-hmm. That was one of the things on here, like mm-hmm. adventure and new experiences. Mm-hmm. And they decide, okay, well, that's what we want for our family. And according to the budget that we have to work with, mm-hmm. we're going to minimize our housing expenses so that we can put more of our budget into taking trips and exploring the world and whatever. Mm-hmm. And some people even go to I feel like it's pretty extreme, and they live out of their RV so that they can travel full time and mm-hmm. because adventure and new experiences, and those are high values.
Thought of that. For the,
did you?
Oh, yes. One of our thought processes, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But, you know, with our kids living on both sets of the coast, you know, West Coast, East Coast,
right.
I mean, it frees us up to just hop in, you know, well, usually we don't drive. In fact, we've never driven to California, but it would be, we can just hop on a plane, mm-hmm. go, mm-hmm. and we're not leaving a bunch of maintenance to somebody
right.
to deal
exactly.
with stuff.
Because mm-hmm. it's like, to me, when it comes to values and priorities, you can value all kinds of things. And all three of us had a lot of V's mm-hmm. on our, mm-hmm. you know, that was the highest one, a lot of V's on our page. Mm-hmm. But you have to prioritize because you can't have it all. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. I can't value having deep relationships with my adult children. And I'm an introvert. So highly, highly valuing all my me time. Mm-hmm, I have mm-hmm. to give somewhere if I'm going to have the time, if I'm going to make the time to go and invest in those relationships with my kids, because they're not here anymore in the house. So I have to like be way more intentional. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And uh-huh. I think you have uh-huh. to be careful too there with expectations. And I know we're
yes.
going to cover that down. So I'll just
yeah,
wait,
we're going to get to that in a minute. So let's move on so that we can get to everything. What happens though when we don't keep our personal values under the umbrella of the kingdom values? Do you guys have an example of how that, what results when that happens, when we do that?
Oh, selfishness.
Yeah.
we become more focused on our own needs mm-hmm. and desires rather than looking at others and seeing how we can help, you yeah. know, needs of theirs. And it can also lead not only to selfishness, but lack of empathy for
yeah.
other people.
Oh, for sure.
So
for sure.
And I think one of the big ones when I look at our world today is moral relativism, mm-hmm. because without a moral compass grounded in godly values, we're more susceptible to that. The idea that morality is subjective and mm-hmm. it varies from person to person.
Right.
We lose sight of what the value is, and we become unclear. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not thinking clearly about it because we're so influenced by the world.
Right. Right. For sure. What about you, Joy?
Well, I just was thinking, you know, I put order, routine, all of that, number one in my homemaking as a value. And the other day, well, the other morning, I think it was Wednesday morning, it was, I was in bed going through, well, I did my Bible study first, and then I was going over all the questions because I had been so busy, I hadn't even thought about, you know, what we were talking about today, hardly. And so I sat there and was doing some, you know, writing a few notes, and all of a sudden I knew I was battling in my heart, okay, I've got all this stuff to do. I've got this huge, long to-do list. I need to get this house cleaned up. And I knew I had a luncheon to go to with all my old Bible study friends. And so I sat there. I thought, oh, what do I do? What do I do? And I had 20 minutes. I got up, got ready, went to the Bible study luncheon. And I'm thinking, the whole time I was there, I was so glad I went. And mm-hmm. I thought, I had to give up one of my values
yeah.
in trading it for a relationship yeah. with my friends. And I thought, you know, I'm so glad I went. Mm-hmm. And so I was sharing that. We have a big text group that 6 of us out of the 10 were able to come. And I thought, I was so glad I was there with those sweet friends. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we all encourage one another. And it's just a great body of ladies that I'm so blessed to have in my life, because you know, I'm not sure I've had this many friends that I value their friendship and their encouragement and their mm-hmm. godliness mm-hmm. As I have the last few years being yeah. in this area.
Yeah.
So, and I'm so thankful for that. And if you give those things up to do order and routine and, mm-hmm. you know, do all of those, mm-hmm. you're missing out on something that's really special and meaningful for
yeah.
all of us.
Absolutely.
So good.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought about the context in the context of a good value not kept under a kingdom value can turn rogue on me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, so, for example, here's an example. If I value thrift and being a good steward, thrifting good stewardship. But I don't keep it under the kingdom value of generosity. I could easily fall into becoming stingy and miserly with money. Mm-hmm. So your values are good guides, but they're terrible gods. Mm-hmm. So if my values are not under the umbrella of God's kingdom values, then they can become tyrannical in my own life and in the lives of those around me.
Yeah.
So that's just something to be aware of and keep in mind. Okay, so let's move on and talk about how our values shape our priorities and our expectations. So for better or worse, you prioritize and make time for what you value, okay? And our expectations are often based on our values. So we talk a lot about expectations on the show, about, you know, coming into homemaking thinking it's going to look one way and it actually looks very different. And when our expectations aren't met, how do we deal with those disappointments? And oftentimes unmet expectations can feel like a personal attack when those expectations were based on our personal values. And that very often is why we react so badly. So how can misplaced values hijack our priorities? And can you think of a time when this happened in your homemaking? Okay. Do you guys have any examples of that?
Go ahead.
Well, I think I kind of shared mine where it got hijacked with, you know, going through the Bible study.
But yes.
I thought sometimes, you know, my mom lives next door.
Right.
And I'm just thrilled to have her there.
Yeah.
Because it's, you know, we've gotten closer. You know, we've never lived. Well, when at one point in our married life, we lived kind of close to him for a short time, to her and my dad. But since my dad's passed away, you know, I haven't been as close, you know, location-wise into my mom until we moved her out beside us in the other little cottage. And it's just been a good time, you know, and sometimes I like to just go over there and sit and visit with her and do those things and knowing that I've got this whole list of stuff I have to do. And then I remember, you know, this time is important and I don't want to always be rushing off and just say, okay, mom, I've got a zillion things to do. I got to go. And I do say that a lot, you know, but, you know, the Lord has kind of convicted me that time visiting with her and being, you know, she's a very godly woman and I need to like not put my desires over what the Lord has, you know, for me in that relationship.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay. That's great.
Well, I had written down how can misplaced values hijack priorities. We can have confusion. Mm-hmm. We can have distraction. We can come up with things that aren't really important that distract us to while neglecting the things that we really need to be doing.
Yes,
we can cause stress in our lives. When our values are not aligned with our priorities, mm-hmm. we feel stressed and overwhelmed. Maybe we're juggling too many things, and that's happened many times in my life. Mm-hmm. Or maybe we're worrying about, are we really doing the right things?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. that can cause mm-hmm. stress. Mm-hmm. But have we gone to the, can you think of a time when this happened in your homemaking?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So Greg and I both, I was talking to him about this. I said, and I had already thought of this, and he said the same thing. And
okay.
So I said, okay, this is it. But anyway, way back in our marriage, our kids were probably elementary school age, and we had just gotten, our budget had gotten out of hand. Greg wasn't making that much. We were having a lot of month left at the end of the money. Uh-huh. We didn't realize until one day we sat down and looked at the credit card that we had been charging things to and looked at the interest rate. It was like $30 a month we were paying in interest. And we just went, oh my goodness, what are we doing?
Yeah.
We didn't even realize what was happening. And so we knew a guy, and this was before Dave Ramsey, and we knew a guy, he was like the pre-Dave Ramsey, I guess, in our church. And we knew that he paid cash for cars and he was, you know, really good with his money and all that. And he sat down with us. He said, well, I think you're ready. Because we were at the bottom. We were so, because we hadn't even been able to tithe.
Mm-hmm.
And we had just, our priorities were messed up
big time. And so he got us on this budget, just like a Dave Ramsey thing, where you keep track of every single penny. We did that for probably 6 months. And just within a few months, we started feeling freedom. Mm. And we knew then that now our priority has gotten straightened out. And all of a sudden, we started seeing blessings from God that we hadn't seen before. Paycheck, but we were able to give. We didn't have a month left at the end of the money. We had just become better stewards mm-hmm. of what God had given us. Mm-hmm. And we'll always be grateful to Joe Lockamy because he's the one who really helped us. Yeah. And, you know, it's, yeah. So I think that's just a good example.
No, that is how a great. That's a great example.
And lose tracking. You don't even know. You don't even realize.
It can snowball very quickly, mm-hmm. and it's the little daily decisions that you're making and prioritizing, and some of this has to do with being intentional and having mm-hmm. a plan and sticking to your plan. Because if you don't, then it's like the tyranny of the urgent always wins.
Yeah.
Whether that's financial choices you're making or budgeting decisions or spending decisions that you're mm-hmm. making in the moment, or it's other things. But I do feel like it can vary. Your priorities being out of whack can mm-hmm. quickly snowball. It can start with something small and then that leads to another poor decision or, you know, and it can just get overwhelming very quickly. Mm-hmm. And that can apply not only to budgeting, but it can apply to like commitments that you make outside the home, you mm-hmm. know, with your kids and the sports and the, all of that kind of stuff can very quickly snowball if you don't, because there's so many wonderful mm-hmm. opportunities and yep. things that you mm-hmm. can do. Yeah. Doesn't mean you should do all of it. And if you're not super intentional, and we're going to talk about this at the end about family, kind of like setting some family goals mm-hmm. and values and priorities and how that can help keep it between the rails so you don't find yourself in a situation like you guys did financially mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. whether it's with your calendar or your bank book, realizing, oh my gosh, how did we get here? Mm-hmm. And it's really just a matter of your values and your priorities have gotten out of whack.
Well, I think part of it was that credit card because mm-hmm. our parents didn't have credit cards. And so, you know, that they didn't teach us about credit cards.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so, and also something else that you have to think about is that the stress that it causes between spouses, because, you know, we had arguments about mm-hmm. money, I mean, it was awful. And then we realized after we finally got on track, those arguments, we didn't have arguments anymore. Yeah. This is great.
Like, why did we argue? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mine's a little bit different. One of the examples that I thought of, but it's same, it caused stress in our marriage. If I'm valuing beauty and so my value of beauty and creativity caused me not to prioritize the less beautiful and less creative parts of homemaking. So like laundry and toilets. My homemaking suffered because of that. And I would prioritize creative time. Mm-hmm. It was way more fun to, you know, work on a quilt or make a wreath for the door or do some, or even like reorganize a drawer that didn't really need to be reorganized, but because that was creative and, it made it beautiful. But when I prioritized that creative time over the necessary disciplines of housekeeping, and maybe like then we wouldn't have a dinner planned. And so then we'd have to eat out and we didn't really have the money for that. If I didn't prioritize getting the laundry done and my husband, sweet man, would be like, hey, like, is there some clean underwear somewhere, you know? And I would be offended because I'm thinking he's like personally attacking me because I'm not doing my job, you know? Yeah. But that's all goes back to just my priorities being out of alignment mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. it is important to me. I value what I do and I value that my husband feels comfortable and has clean underwear. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But my priorities weren't supporting that value. So that was my example. Okay. So really quickly, let's touch on expectations. And do you see a relationship between your expectations for homemaking and your values? You know, like, so here's just a quick example. I expected that when I set up systems for order, that everybody was going to follow those systems, right? I expected I was going to run my home one way and everybody would fall in line. And if they didn't, I was like really personally offended by that because order was important to me. You know, and I took the time to do this and you should follow my system. So do you guys have anything like that you thought of?
Mine is a little bit different, but you know, one of my things is hospitality. And mm-hmm. so, the way I read that question, I guess is different, but if hospitality is important, then we may prioritize a welcome and inviting home, just like we've been talking about, mm-hmm. and a way to make our guests feel warm and cozy and loved and cared for.
Right.
They may not even have that in other places, but when they come into my home, I want them to feel that.
Yeah.
I don't want mm-hmm. them to you know, be afraid to pick up the glass because they might break it or
sure.
whatever. And so if that's my gift, then my priority mm-hmm. should be toward making
that happen.
Be warm.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's great.
So that's kind of how I read that one.
No, that's a positive spin on the expectation
side.
Yeah. No, mm-hmm. that's great. I'm glad you brought that up. Joy?
I feel like I put more expectations on me than other people because I had a mentor lady that just took a whole bunch of us young married couples, and she took all the wives, and one of the things that she said was, don't have expectations on other people.
Yeah.
And I will never forget that. I mean, it's just like, don't expect them to act a certain way. Mm-hmm. Don't expect them to do a certain thing mm-hmm. or be a certain person, but you just accept them for who they are. And that goes with everybody, your kids, your husband, mm-hmm. your, you know, family members, your friends. And, you know, I think that's made a huge impact, but it doesn't necessarily exclude putting expectations on myself, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's probably what I battle with is, mm-hmm. okay, I'm expecting myself to get out and do all these things, you know, when I need to, let's pull back and decide, okay, this is what I need to do. Mm-hmm. I need to spend time with my girls this week, you know, and in their babies and just enjoy holding them and just loving on those little.
Yeah.
And
that kind of goes, it kind of mm-hmm. goes back to your point earlier about mm-hmm. feeling like you needed to be productive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All the time.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. it was like an expectation you had of mm-hmm. yourself.
Mm-hmm. And don't mm-hmm. succumb to adult peer pressure.
Yeah. Adult peer, what do you mean?
Peer pressure. When other adults, your uh-huh. friends, are putting pressure on you.
Yes.
To do things, mm-hmm. but you know there's something else you need to be doing. And then you say, oh, forget that. Let's just go have fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, we've actually, that has come up before too in the context of homemaking. And people, they think you have more time than you do. Like they might ask, put extra demands on you because. Yeah. Well, you're home all day,
yes.
you know, whether that's put upon you by other people, you should be able to volunteer for this PTA position because you've got all this extra time because you're home. You don't work outside the home. Or you might even put that upon yourself thinking, well, I have extra time, you know, because all the other moms are out working. Well, I should do this or I should do that. But that's where you have to step back and say, no, you know, what are our mm-hmm. values mm-hmm. and what are the priorities, mm-hmm. you know, that we're going to set in place, and can I make that work? Well, no. Well, then then I can be released from that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a good point. Let's look at the other two pillars of homemaking. All right. And we're going to just touch on how values and priorities affect these other two. We're going to go deep into these two later on in the year, so we're not going to spend a lot of time here, but I just want to make the connection that these are related. So rhythms and routines, that's the third pillar of homemaking. And the key ideas here are that our rhythms and routines can be either a support to our values and priorities, or they can sabotage them. And we've kind of talked about that a little bit already, and that we need to be flexible because as our values change, with the seasons of life, our rhythms and routines are going to be different mm-hmm. depending on, you know, if you've got a bunch of kids at home and you're managing school schedules and band and soccer and all the things, your rhythms and routines are going to look very different based on the values mm-hmm. for that life mm-hmm. stage than they will mm-hmm. for a life stage of an empty nester.
Yes, so, I could actually keep my house clean for a few days. Yeah. And I thought, wow, it looks like no one lives here.
That's great.
And then, you know.
That's true. So, yeah.
So what are some current rhythms and routines that you have that directly support your personal or family values in the season that you're in right now?
Well, I use my grandkids a lot in stories and examples, but encouragement cards and letters to grandkids, trying to be regular about that.
Yeah.
So many of them now, they're adults and they're off doing their own thing, and we don't hear from them as much. We don't see them as much. And one of the things that I'm doing right now is we're trying to get a once a month
time where we Zoom with all of our, mostly the older grandchildren, because we want to, they don't even know what each other's doing. And so, and they used to be really close when they were younger kids, but, you know, they've kind of parted ways. But anyway, so we, and we'll just have a short time where each one of them just tells us what's going on in your life. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see, you know, how that works. We're about to begin that.
Cool.
And I've just gotten, I'm about to send a text to all of them and say, this is what we're doing on this Sunday evening.
Yes.
A different Sunday evening than the book club. But Sunday evening seems to work for everybody. Cause I don't know. There's not much going
on. A lot of people
on.
Tend to be home on a Sunday evening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And so we'll see how many show up. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That's a great idea.
Yeah, but it'll be fun anyway. And then one other thing that I was just going to say about something we did a long time ago, and that, and I think I mentioned it in one of the other podcasts, but is we decided once when we had a family that we were going to be going to church every Sunday, and we didn't have to make that decision again. They knew, we knew, we never had to do that again.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I read this study, a Barna research group study, that they discovered that adults who attended church as a child are twice as likely to read the Bible and attend church during a typical week, and nearly 50% more likely to pray than unchurched children.
Wow.
Other studies have shown that churched kids are healthier. Mentally and physically. And so, I don't know, that was just really surprising to me. But I look at the one scripture in Hebrews 10, and it says, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. And that's kind of what we're talking about today.
Right.
Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so that to me says that when you... encouragement is going to happen when you meet together, and you don't meet together and you stay to yourselves, and you miss a lot of what God is trying to bless you with. He's given these things to bless you.
Right.
So, anyway, I just
think that's
interesting.
No, that's great. Joy, what kind of rhythms and routines do you have in place to support your values?
Well, okay, we know my value is order and simplicity, but I have a weekly schedule, and, you know, I'm keeping it flexible, like when I have to or get to go out and do other things. But Mondays, I clean my whole house, you know, whole house, do all my laundry. I do everything. Clean the honey hive if I've had guests back there. And that's, the honey hive is my little guest house. So,
and it's little.
And it is really little. if my house is a mansion compared to the honey hive, it's about 200 square feet, but it has a little sofa that pulls out to make a bed. And so some of my kids usually stay back there when they come to visit.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Monday is cleaning. And I know this is kind of, I've tried to keep this even all through my kids growing up, but it cemented into my brain right now. Okay, so Monday's house cleaning. I get everything done, laundry, everything. Tuesday is my In the Word Bible study. I try to stay in the Word. I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to a lot of pastors that I kind of go along. I do a Bible study with one of them online. And then that's Tuesday. And so I stay pretty much in the Word all day Tuesdays. Wednesday is, well, when Bible study's going on, I go to Bible study there, you know, have lunch with some ladies and do those kind of things. Thursday is the day that I say, okay, I'm free to do anything. I tell all the girls that always want to run to Fredericksburg or Comfort or wherever. I said, okay, Thursday is my day. I can do that. Mm-hmm. And Friday, my husband's home. So he works from home on Friday. So I kind of like to be there with him because he doesn't have to work basically all day, but we get a few things done around the property. And then Saturday we have church. You know, by the time you get up and get things going, church time.
Yeah.
And we do community group twice a month after Saturday service. And then Sunday is our total. We love Sundays. It's just been my favorite. It's my favorite day in that we've finally have a day of rest.
Yeah.
But I will say we do some projects too in the afternoon. You know, we have our reading time. We have just drinking coffee on the front porch and looking over at the hills. it just restores us that morning. I mean, I will say we do a few projects in the afternoon, because with Saturday going to church, it kind of cuts.
Yeah,
because
y'all serve. Because y'all serve.
Yes, and so we usually,
as welcomers and
yes,
all that
we're
stuff.
Usually leaving for church around 3:30 or so. Yeah. So anyway, so Saturday is just a little bit cut in half. So we feel like we have to do some things on our property on Sunday afternoon. But anyway, so we're on this little pattern, and it's just, I feel like it gives us a complete rest. And my husband is a routine person too. Thankfully, I married somebody that meshes in there. He's a minimalist, meshes in with all that.
That's
so
good. That's
it
good.
Does work out well.
I love that. So. I love that. But I feel like I'm on order overload right now.
That's
I think
funny.
It's great.
Yep, yep, yep.
I wish I could do that. Yep.
Well, and it's different. You know, yeah. There have been times where my schedule has been more fluid and less orderly like that. Mm-hmm. Before I started the podcast, it was a little more like that. And now it has to be much more orderly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
I have deadlines mm-hmm. to meet mm-hmm. and things like that. And I had to get to the point where I would say, okay, I moved more to a block schedule so that, because I also still am a homemaker and my, you know, I have things to do around my home and things that I want to do mm-hmm. as part of my homemaking. So I had to literally set aside time because that is important to me. So I had to say, okay, Monday is my full homemaking day. That mm-hmm. is all I do on Monday. Mm-hmm. And that includes cleaning and laundry, but it also includes any extra projects I want to do. And, mm-hmm. you know, and then I have a day for, I have 2 days for podcast, and then I have, you know, kind of flex days in between. But it mattered the way that I ordered my time if I wanted to be able to do all the things that yes. were valuable to me.
Yeah.
So I do have systems for keeping up with housework and grocery and meal planning because order is an important value for me. And then beauty and curiosity. I did have creativity as a top one, but I changed it to curiosity because that kind of, to me, speaks to being creative and always learning. Mm-hmm. You know, those mm-hmm. kind of go together in my mind. But for that, I'm always doing some kind of project around the house. I try to make time for that regularly, like at least once a month to do some sort of creative project. But I have regular book club with you guys, oh, and yes. we have a schedule uh-huh. for that. Uh-huh. And, you know, we have a book for every, now we go every other month, but we have a selection and we meet at a certain regular time. Something I do, a rhythm and a routine that I try to do most days, and this helps me value rest, is when it gets close to my husband coming home, which is usually around 6 o'clock, 5:30, 6 o'clock. I, even before that, around 5, I will hang up my apron, so to speak, or hang up the microphone if it's a podcast day. And the way that I tell my brain that I'm off, that it's time to rest, which is also make dinner, but that's restful for me because I love to cook. I turn on some music on Spotify and I light some candles. Mm-hmm. And that mm-hmm. means we're clocking out now. The day mm-hmm. is over. And that's just a routine that I've tried to do regularly that helps my brain go into that rest mm-hmm. mode that I so need. Otherwise, I'll just keep on doing the laundry and mm-hmm. just keep doing, you know, the next project. And he's come home and wants to like talk to me and I'm just busy, busy, busy. So those are some of the things that I do.
I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the what we used to do with when Greg came home and we had couch time.
Yes.
When we had kids.
I remember we talked about
and
that.
And so the kids knew that when Dad came home, it would mm-hmm. he would visit with Mom first and mm-hmm. then he would visit with the kids. And that in their eyes, it's like, oh, Mom's really important, Dad.
Yeah. mm-hmm. Yeah. And that was a much needed routine for y'all just mm-hmm. to have that reconnection.
Yep.
Coming back together at the end of the day and connecting with one another and making sure you're on the same page and all that.
What has helped us is, both of y'all know we don't have a TV in mm-hmm. our house. And so we have never missed it. That's what's so crazy. Mm-hmm. Here, my husband is in advertising and media and all of that, and we have no TV. It's so nice to it just has a peaceful mm-hmm. feeling about it. You know, we don't have anything going on, you know, just background. But some people just have the TV going on just for background, you know, noise. Now I do listen to podcasts, so that kind of keeps me going, you know, around the house, but it helps in not distracting from your priorities and values,
right.
You know, to
right. For
just
sure.
watch mindless TV.
Absolutely. So. Let's talk about how, values and priorities shape the fourth pillar of homemaking, community. So some key ideas to think about as we talk about this, that your personal values don't exist in a vacuum. You have to learn how to live in community with people who may have different personal values than you. And you got to be respectful and tactful and remembering, and we've talked about this already somewhat, Karen, how we can honor the values of others without compromising our kingdom values. Mm-hmm. We can be kind, I guess maybe is the way that we were talking about it in relation to your son. We can be kind without compromising. So understanding other understanding others' personal values can help you to relate and empathize and to care for them. Sort of like love languages, kind of like that. Values are also great evangelism tools because people will be curious about why your life looks so different. And someone's personal values, that's a great place to meet them with the gospel. And we need to be with like-minded people to equip us for the kingdom work. So that's helpful, but we also don't want to just surround ourselves with people who have the same values as us, same priorities as us, because then we're living in an echo chamber, and that's not helpful.
Right.
So let's talk about a time when your personal values clashed with someone else's personal values and possibly caused a rift in community. And that could be anybody, husband, child, friend, neighbor, mom, whoever.
Okay, I think I have a good story.
Okay.
For that. So several years ago, we had a young single woman living with us, mm-hmm. and she found out she was pregnant before she came. She didn't have any place to go. We said, you can come and be here until you have your baby, and then, you know, we need to figure out how you're going to become independent. And so she had her baby, and so then she was just staying back in the bedroom all the time, taking care of her baby, playing video games, you know, doing all these things that we usually don't allow in our house. But here, she's an adult, and, you know,
right.
It's kind of hard. And so we decided, okay, when the baby was about 3 or 4 months old, we went to her. We tried to give her some time afterwards, you know, to heal and to recover and so forth, learn how to care for a baby. And so we went to her and we outlined, we said, you need to have some goals. There need to be some things that you, are doing to ensure that you're able to live independently and take care of your child. And it's not going to be living here forever. And so, we outlined, something for her with a lot of goals on there and values that would help her reach those goals. But she decided, at the first week we went to her and we said, okay, how did you do on the first week? Cause we gave her things. We said, we're going to come and we're going to talk to you the first week. And we let her know that if you can't do this, then you're going to have to find another place to live because that's really hard, but
yeah.
This is the way it is. We gave her every opportunity. She said she's just not doing it,
mm-hmm.
not going to do it. She didn't want to leave her baby to go work. And I said, well, you know, when you already made that choice when you became a mom, a single mom,
mm-hmm.
you made the choice that you were going to have to work
right.
and to support that baby. And so she left and, so her misplaced values didn't really have any, actually, in some areas. It put a rift between us and her.
Yeah.
And so that was hard. It's hard, especially when it's a relative. And,
right.
It affects more than just us. It affects, you know, a lot of mm-hmm. other people, too. Mm-hmm. And so... That's just one good example, right?
Yeah,
there,
that is a good example. I mean, it's you had to make a really hard decision.
Yeah,
you know, it's a little different when if it's a child
mm-hmm.
or a husband. I don't know. Have you guys had an experience with your husband where maybe something that he valued that you didn't recognize or you valued and he didn't recognize, and maybe it caused some tension in your relationship?
Well, I will tell you, this was a child.
It was. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. One of our
adopted
two
ones.
Adopted ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyway. And that was that's what made it even harder. Because,
right, because you wanted to give her a good home.
We didn't want to have to do that. Mm-hmm. We even had found a place where she could go and live. They would help her. She didn't want us to help her.
Yeah.
She wouldn't respond to that. But we had found a place where they would help her with her baby, take care of her baby while she either worked or went to school.
Yeah.
She could live there for a while. Oh, mm-hmm. But she wasn't going to have any of that. So she ended up going and living with people that weren't good for her. And as a result, has continued to go down that road. Mm-hmm. So
that's difficult. I think it's hard to have, you know, because we're having this conversation about being willing to not compromise your values, but also living in a way that's kind and compassionate, mm-hmm. but with boundaries. I guess that's the concept I'm trying
to have boundaries and
grab onto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to have them. And
I guess your values can help you set those boundaries. Mm-hmm.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
Mm-hmm. They can kind of be the boundaries for you in situations like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's true. I mean, we didn't want to do that. We didn't want her to go, but she basically made that choice. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Wow.
Well, I did think of something about, even though my husband and I are on the same page on a lot of things, mm-hmm. we raise bees. He raises bees. Okay, let me make that distinction. He raises bees, uh-huh. and you know, I mean, it's the value is a little bit more day to day than what you had to deal with.
Yeah,
but this is we've had a drought, and we always have to feed them. So you know, here he is in this bee suit and sticky hands, and then you know, we have a tiny house anyway.
No, I know where this is going.
So when he comes in, every doorknob is sticky, and you know, and he comes in the bee suit, and we have to fill up these big jugs in our shower, you know, and I'm like, okay, we have to make sugar water. And then you know, he wanted to spend the spin or the honey in our house, and I was like, oh man, could we just please do it in the honey hive or out in the garden shed or somewhere else besides this little house? We just have so much room here that or so little room, please, you know, let's find a different place. But I just know every time he says, okay, I've got to feed the bees today, I'm like, okay, I've got to clean sticky handles, clean sticky faucets, clean my shower. It just leaves a little trail. But he loves those bees. And actually, we really love the honey, too.
I'm sure.
That's a big plus. So I have to grace over all of that.
For him, the beekeeping, I mean, I don't want to get too like minute mm-hmm. and technical mm-hmm. here. But like for him, I'm sure he values that experience.
Oh, he did. Yes.
You know,
he
the creativity
yes.
and the
he goes out there every day and just looks at those bees and makes sure, I mean, every weekend, okay, what could I think he's thinking, what could I do? And so, anyway, he's always, you know, buying new bees and we're, you know, he's going to get new hives from who knows where. And so, anyway, it's fun. He loves it, loves it, loves it. That's a favorite thing he does out on our property. So, I would never take that away from him. I just know that, and I enjoy it. I get a benefit from it. It's just, I know that everything is a little sticky
You're going to have to, you're going to have to give a little bit on your value of order.
Up. Yes, exactly.
And all that. Okay. Anyway, well, that's fun. That's a fun example. I'm sure. Yeah. We could come up with a lot of small examples and then more extreme examples of how, a clash of personal values can cause a rift in our family community and then even in our greater communities. I was thinking along the lines too, just personally, like with children, when you're raising children, how important it is to identify. So one of the main points I wanted to bring out here was like, take the time to really think about and even ask. You can't necessarily ask a child, but you can certainly ask your husband, you know, like what do you value? What's important to you? And we'll talk some more about how we can combine those to come up with family values when we get to our last section in a minute here. But understanding, you know, what is important to your child. And again, this keeps reminding me of the love languages. And I'm sure that there's a lot of overlap there. And I'm sure as when Dr. Smalley did that, you know, he probably was considering personal values and all that as well. But do you have a child who values one-on-one time with you, you know, they that is important to them to be just right. it might be annoying because they want to be right there with you in the kitchen when you're making the dinner or the cookies or the whatever, or they're trailing right behind you always when you're vacuuming the floor. And you're just like, can you just like go sit over here mm-hmm. and do this thing so I can get this done? Mm-hmm. That's not recognizing that what they value is that time mm-hmm. with you mm-hmm. and being willing to give a little bit on your value of order and the mm-hmm. rhythm that you've set and this, I need to get this done mm-hmm. To make that, make the time to, yeah, for them. So anyway, any other thoughts before we move on? No? Okay. So how do you think, or maybe how have you seen living according to kingdom and personal values be a way to share the gospel, be a way to attract people to the gospel, or distract from the gospel? Any examples that you can think of or that you've personally seen in your life?
Well, I was just thinking about our middle daughter, and she has the gift of transparency, and mm-hmm. which is, it's really great. You know, mm-hmm. people love that. They love to be around people who, and I guess the value would be authenticity.
Yeah.
But people are drawn to mm-hmm. those kind of people. And I think they feel like they're really listening to them. They're loving them in a way that they can identify with. And I actually think that it makes you more relatable and approachable. Mm-hmm. And so you may have a greater opportunity to share the gospel. Mm-hmm. People, you know, right. will come, and they're not put off by your personality or whatever.
That's a great example.
And I think it also, authenticity probably illuminates integrity.
Yeah.
So I think it's a, sometimes people look at that as maybe as being not such a great thing, but I think it's fine. And mm-hmm. some people don't like that, but there are a lot who do, mm-hmm. who you can reach, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of thought that kingdom values, yes, definitely attract people to you. If you love others, they can't help but be drawn to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you reach out and serve others, they can't help but be drawn to you.
Right.
If you're kind, joyful, generous, people can't help but be drawn to you. Mm-hmm. So what better way to share the gospel than to have the character of Christ in you, living through you, and, mm-hmm. and having his values, mm-hmm. you know, living through you. And I think it gives us that opportunity to be able to share his message.
Yeah, definitely. If I go through this list and I think about, you know, things like courage and curiosity and fairness, and to me, freedom is a big one. Mm-hmm. You know, people mm-hmm. see you living in freedom. Because I wrote this, the freedom on this list was to live freely, to choose how I live and behave, and to help others do likewise. But as a believer, I put that under the headship of Jesus and the umbrella of the kingdom. And I say, well, yes, I want to live free. I want to live free in Christ, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. With the kind of freedom that only he brings. And so when people look at our lives, and we might be going through very difficult things, or we might be shackled financially by struggles with our finances or whatever the struggle is that we're facing, but we can still live in freedom. We're not bound by fear because we don't know what the future holds. Maybe our husband loses his job, but we can still be free to move forward and do the next thing that God is calling us to do, even if we don't know how God's going to provide and how that's all going to work out. We can still live in freedom and not be bound up by fear or anxiety or any of the other opposites of freedom, not be in bondage to, you know, any kind of sin, addiction, or needing to have the approval of man, or all of those things. We could put any number of things under that list. But that is attractive because people can look at your circumstances and they can say, but how can you live so freely and mm-hmm. and have joy and, mm-hmm. you know, not mm-hmm. be fear? I would be so afraid if my husband lost his job. I wouldn't mm-hmm. know what to do, you know, and we can mm-hmm. draw people towards the gospel mm-hmm. and explaining, well, let me explain to you how I can walk in freedom and know mm-hmm. that
right.
whatever mm-hmm. happens, God has got me mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and I don't have to fear. Mm-hmm. So that's very attractive, I believe.
Well, I'd say on the other side of the coin, say a husband and wife have very different values, conflicting values, mm-hmm. and the way that they present to others as a couple, he might, you know, reprimand her in front of somebody else. I mean, and that definitely is not attracting.
That's a turnoff.
You know, you don't want to be around people like that. Mm-hmm. And then also with parents and children, you can be like overly strict or overly lenient. Mm-hmm. And whether it's right or not, you're going to be judged, you know, on how you are. And some people are going to shun.
Yeah.
And whereas if you, you know, if you could create an atmosphere that, like you're saying, where people look at you and they say, oh, wow, I want that. I want that for my marriage. I want that for my family. But you're not going to do it in some way, you know, by having conflicting values and exposing those to people that you're around who maybe are not believers.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Well, let's see. Let's talk a little bit about application, because we don't want to just give all these lofty ideas. I think we've done some application in our discussion and given some practical suggestions, but I want to take it all the way here and talk about how we can know and state and practice our values and priorities. So when we had your interview, Karen, we talked about the Shepherd family values that you and Greg came up with to help sort of guide you and your family and as you were parenting your children. And can you just briefly explain sort of the why and the how?
Okay. So we had kind of two families. We had our three daughters, and then we adopted two children when our daughters were teenagers. And so when we got those two kids, we looked on their charts, we read their charts, we saw all the obstacles that have been put in their way, and how that they evidently were perceived to behave like little animals, and they never had discipline. And we thought, man, this is going to take, you know, a whole lot more than what we thought. Mm-hmm. And we better just really kind of get soaked in the word here with them. And in order for them to understand, they were only two and three, but, you know, we came up with some really simple, six simple beliefs. Mm-hmm. And just to give you an example, the first one is God is real and he loves us. Mm-hmm. And that the character goal for that was faith. And so we would just read those to them every night. And our older girls would read them to them too. And we would talk about them, and we would see something that would happen. Oh, remember that goal. You know, people are more important than things. And, so we had, it's like an archer trying to hit a target. You have to aim.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, it just doesn't happen. And so instead of using they love to hear Bible stories and that type of thing, but as they got a little bit older, we felt it was really important to use the Bible, the real Bible, not just a Bible story book, and to start reading to them the Bible.
Right.
You know, you can get a version that's easy for them to understand, and even back then you could. And so we felt like it was just really important to soak them in the Word. Mm-hmm. Now we had a lot of issues and everything, but every now and then we see glimpses of hope, and they even tell us sometimes, we remember those values, and they can even still repeat them. And so we have hope that someday that they will, come around, and that may be the reason, is because we just, you know, pounded it into them really. No, I mean, not pounded but, you know.
It was incorporated into your daily life.
It was intentional. It was very intentional. We didn't just say, oh, well, let's just, you know, next week we'll read a Bible story, or we'll do this or we'll do that. We had these kids in mind, as well as our older ones, because you're never too old to hear these things and to put these things into your mind and, you know, meditate on them. And, so, That's kind of how we got going on that. And we had Psalms 127 as the scripture.
Okay.
Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from him, like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. And so, you know, that's in Psalms. And yeah, so we had a lot of little bullet points where this is what we'd like to see from mm-hmm. this. We'd like for you to learn to love God and grow in a mature walk with him.
Right.
You know, we had a whole bunch of those. This is for us.
Right. So you had not just
see.
You had not just the character trait or the mm-hmm. value that you were trying to instill
yes.
with the related truth and scripture,
right?
But you had outcomes,
yes.
desired outcomes.
Yeah, outcomes. That's probably a good word for it. Yeah,
you know, not yeah. just learn this, but here's how it would make a difference in your life.
And so we could go over this. You know, mm-hmm. we had 12 of those, and so we could go over this, and we could look and see: is this happening? Do we need to work more
right.
in this area?
Right. And know? If you were to look at this, this concept of the values assessments, and as far as how it's used, and I am not an expert on this at all, but how it's used in a counseling situation, you would take a values assessment, and then you would, this is where you get the difference between values and goals. And so then based on those values, then you set those goals. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's exactly mm-hmm. what you guys mm-hmm. did. And the goals mm-hmm. need to be like, there's an acronym for it. I can't remember what it is, but it's stuff like measurable,
yeah.
You know, like reasonable, like you know, something you can reasonably expect to attain to.
Age appropriate.
Measure. Exactly. Yeah, you know, so all those kinds of things. Yeah. Don't just set this lofty goal with no idea how you're going to
yeah.
get there.
Yeah.
So that's really great. That's and exactly. you guys had like printed them out, framed them, and they were put in a prominent place in your home.
Yes.
So
yes.
it was a
and then
regular
we just,
part.
You know, every night when they went to bed, we went over mm-hmm. all of them. And
because cool.
They're not, it wasn't that much. It was more of it was for us,
mm-hmm.
but you know, the part for them wasn't that much. And so they really kind of enjoyed it. I think they liked when they could say them all, you know?
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And
sometimes, I mean, this is obviously relational and this is character building mm-hmm. and what you're trying to accomplish in the lives of your children. But it's also, it's something you can fall back on when they want to understand why you're asking them to do their chores or
oh,
why,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
helping them to understand this is what I'm trying to cultivate in you mm-hmm. because this value is something I believe is going to serve you well mm-hmm.
through
your life.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
this is why. Mm-hmm. And they may not, you know, they're not going to fully understand that at 3 years old, but it's
yeah.
the repetition and
mm-hmm.
it's the continually going back. And, you know, that just reminds me of the scripture where in Deuteronomy, where, you know, they're talking about going over and over
mm-hmm.
the truths
mm-hmm.
of God with your family, when you lie down, yeah. when you walk along the road and,
yes.
you know,
mm-hmm.
put them on as a seal upon your heart and put them on the doorpost of your house. It should be a part of everyday living.
Mm-hmm. And it passes from generation
mm-hmm.
to generation. I mean, you know, they told a lot of generational stories in the Bible and
yeah.
It doesn't just stop there.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's great.
Yeah,
well, thanks.
It was, and you know, things aren't great right now with those kids, but I just have to know that God is in charge
mm-hmm.
and he's doing a work. And he can fix, he's the only one who can fix them. And,
right.
you know, I just know that we did what we could do to instill in them
mm-hmm.
godly values. And now God is the one who has to.
Well, he, like we talked about at the very beginning, you know, part of becoming a new creation in Christ is he gives you eyes to see
mm-hmm.
where you couldn't see before. So, you know, you don't have the ability apart from him to even recognize
mm-hmm.
any of that,
mm-hmm.
To recognize the value of those values, the goodness of those mm-hmm. values. You don't recognize it until he gives you eyes to see it.
Yeah.
Because apart from him working in you, you want generally the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that. And we've talked about that. And even once you are identified as a new creation in Christ, you still have to deal with the flesh. And so, you know, all the things we talked about today about how we can clash with others'
mm-hmm.
values in our home and we can let our values and priorities get out of whack. And cause us to make bad choices and react badly when our expectations aren't met. All of that is us still dealing with the flesh and being sanctified. But you're right. God is working regardless of the situation. And he's just called us to walk in obedience. Mm-hmm.
That's it, that obedience.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And Karen, you know, just thinking those children may have never had the foundation y'all gave them. Mm-hmm. You know, in older years, they're not going to forget this.
Right.
They're not going to forget this. Whether they've walked away or not, mm-hmm. It will always come back to their mind what y'all instilled in their hearts. Mm-hmm. And so it brings you hope. You know?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It does. I mean, you know, and it's all God's timing. Mm-hmm. We can't, you know, mm-hmm. control that. And I already our daughter has come to us and she said, you know, I didn't like it when you read a certain scripture, but I heard it. Mm-hmm. She said, don't think I didn't hear it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, okay.
That's encouraging.
You only have to do what God has called you to do as parents. Mm-hmm. It's not your responsibility to make the kids internalize that. Mm-hmm. But there is repetition. We know that with repetition, the chances are higher of them recalling and then maybe it touching their heart at some point in their life.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Plus seeing y'all, just your walk with the Lord, just growing up and seeing that example.
Lived according to those values. You didn't just preach it at them. Mm-hmm. You lived mm-hmm. it. And that's a really important point to make. Yeah. So as we close this out, I just want to remind everybody that, okay, so here's the application. We talked about values. We all did our little values assessment, and I'm going to link all of this in the description box. And whenever the page one day goes up on the website for this pillar, it'll all be there. But I think it's a very, did you guys find this a valuable exercise?
Yeah.
Yes.
To do mm-hmm. the assessment. Mm-hmm. Had you ever done anything like that before?
Mm-hmm. Well, remember you and I did it.
Oh, we did do it. That's right.
Yes.
Did they change at all?
No.
Since you, pretty much the same. No. But that wasn't that long ago. Yeah. That was just a year ago.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you've never done one, I highly recommend that you take some kind of values assessment, but it's really important that you do that prayerfully. And seek input from people who know you well. Maybe you sit down and you do it with your husband. Mm-hmm. And get his input on, well, do you think does my behavior reflect mm-hmm. that I value this thing? Because something mm-hmm. you might say, oh yeah, I totally value that. And he might disagree because your behavior doesn't reflect that. So seek input from others. Mm-hmm. And definitely, I mean, you're praying about this, but use the scripture as well. Like mm-hmm. what you guys did with your family values, shepherd family values. Mm-hmm. And then just like you guys did, make a target list of priorities and expectations. And I'm talking about this, obviously you can do it for a family, but you can do this for yourself personally as well. Maybe you do this once a year. You might go back at the beginning of the year and do a values assessment and kind of see where you stand, and then make your yearly goals, if you're a yearly goal kind of person, based on those values, and then reassess how your daily schedule and your rhythms and routines need to be set up based on that. And then use those tools to plan your routines and continually reevaluate and be flexible. So those are my practical applications. Do you guys have anything else you want to add to that?
I just have a couple of things. Yeah. I don't know whether this was a long time ago, but this John Roseman, have y'all heard of him? He had a Bill of Rights for Children, and there was a couple of them having to do with character, and I just thought this was really interesting. Because one of them is, because it is the most character-building two-letter word in the English language, children have the right to hear their parents say no at least 3 times a day. And then the other one is, because it is the most character-building activity a child can engage in, children have the right to share significantly in the doing of household chores. Mm. So
that's good.
So 2 character-building things for children. If you're not doing that, then start doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Joy?
Well, I just have a couple of thoughts on application.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes along. One of my favorite verses, in fact, we just have gone in over the minor prophet of Micah in one of my Bible studies. And Micah 6:8 says, "And what does the Lord require of you mm-hmm. but to do justice, to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. And I used to have that on a necklace, and I wore it all the time, mm-hmm. just as a reminder of how I was supposed to walk as a believer in mm-hmm. Christ. And sometimes, you know, we can put stuff on our walls that, you know, for our kids' sake and for our sake, you know, scripture verses. And I have several other things that are on my walls that are not fully scripture verses. They might be like a phrase of a hymn, but, you know, something to remember that value. Okay, yeah, that is important. You know, 1 Thessalonians talk about working with your hands
yeah.
and living a simple, quiet life. My daughter did a little painting. I think you've seen it mm-hmm. in my house. Of that scripture verse. And it's just little reminders to read that, and to it instills your value. And you, when you keep putting it in mm-hmm. and putting it in, like mm-hmm. you did with your children, you can't, I mean, the word says it won't depart from you.
Yeah.
And that's what I feel like is important. And so that mm-hmm. application is just keep on instilling that the word of God into our lives.
Yeah.
Even if it's discouraging at times, yeah. just keep doing it.
Keep doing it.
Yeah,
yes.
No, that's good. And I like the idea of putting physical reminders mm-hmm. in our environment, because that's mm-hmm. one of the perks of being a homemaker is we, yeah. you know, we can cultivate that environment, and that includes what we put on the walls and how we adorn our walls, because that can be very powerful for our own hearts and the hearts of our children and anybody who comes into our home. Well, this has been a really good discussion. I feel like we've just kind of just hit the tip of the iceberg on this topic. And that was sort of the intention here today, was to just do a little intro and just to start the conversation. And I hope that we've got people thinking about how values impact their daily life as homemakers, as wives, as moms, and as sisters in Christ to other women, because that's another thing that we talk a lot about, the Titus 2 command to come alongside and encourage. And maybe you might see a value in a sister that you can encourage in her. That's so important to do that for one another, because we don't always see it in ourselves. But if you see it in someone else, you can affirm that. So, well, thank you, ladies. This has been great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, it's such an honor to be able to discuss with y'all.
Thank you. Thank you so much for listening to this very in-depth and long deep dive into the second pillar of homemaking, values and priorities. You are a champ for listening all the way to the end. I'm so grateful for all of you. I'm grateful that we have the opportunity to put this content out. And it is our prayer, it is my prayer and Joy's prayer and Karen's prayer, that this conversation has blessed you, that it has challenged you and encouraged you to really take some time to think about what your values are. Sit down and do a values assessment. Prayerfully ask the Lord to show you what is it that is important to you, what's unique to the way He's made you and called you. And don't forget to take some time to prayerfully consider which of the kingdom values, those values that all of us as believers in Christ are called to live according to, which of those are you struggling with the most to implement in your homemaking, and why is that? What's behind that? Ask the Holy Spirit for guidance in this area, and don't forget to ask your husband for his input in that area, and then to help hold you accountable to doing a better job in future, submitting to God and being obedient in that area that maybe you're a little resistant to. And once you've done that work, then you can think about how your values and your priorities are then going to shape your rhythms and routines, or how misplaced values and priorities have perhaps negatively shaped the rhythms and routines that you've set in place in your home, and what needs to change. Again, I implore you to involve your husband in this discussion, and even your children, if your children are a little bit older. Whether you involve your children or not, for sure, you want to take into consideration the values and the priorities of the people who you share a household with, because that's part of that fourth pillar, that community pillar, that our values and priorities, personal and kingdom, don't exist within a vacuum that apply only to us. They apply to all the people that we interact with on a daily basis. So we want to always keep that in mind as we do this work to figure out how all of this applies in our life. Well, I know this has been a lot of information today. It might have felt a little bit like drinking from a fire hose. It kind of felt that way actually when we were putting this together. So take some time to digest and to think about it and to pray about it. And maybe just ask the Lord to give you one action item that you can take away from what you heard today and start applying in your homemaking and in your journey. If you found value in today's episode, you can say thanks in a couple of different ways. Share with someone you know. Send this episode on to a homemaker who maybe could use this kind of encouragement or inspiration or information that you think it would bring value to her life. Please, please pass it on. You can also leave us a rating and a review on your listening app of choice. And you can leave us a tip in our virtual tip jar, Buy Me a Coffee. All of the links for doing all of those things are on our support page on the website, theartofhomepodcast.com/support. Also, we are on a break, summer break for the newsletter. Just so you know, if you're already on our list, you would have received a newsletter from me on Friday letting you know that I'm on a newsletter break. It's part of my summer rest, just kind of doing the minimum on the podcast for this season that we're in right now. And for me, that meant taking a break from newsletter production because it is a lot of extra things to do during the week. So newsletters will resume next season, but you can still get on the list so that you make sure that you don't miss any. Just go to theartofhomepodcast.com/subscribe. And you can also go to our website and you can see all of our old newsletters in our newsletter archive. So you can go back to those and you can read those in the meantime while you wait for new newsletter content. Well, that is it for this week's episode. Again, thanks for listening all the way through to the end. I hope you've been challenged and inspired today. Until next time, keep practicing your art of making a home.